The good news according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
This text this morning is also the text for the sermon today. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We remain standing to sing, "As with gladness men of old," and please note that we have special directions for which stanzas who sings what.
Therefore,
may be seated. Well, we can't say this every day, but a new year is begun. We're just into 2016. I don't know if any of you have had the experience already of putting 2015 on the check instead of 2016. That happens to me rather regularly for the first week or two. Just a reminder of things are changing. I got to keep up with it. I suppose a feeling that I've had almost every year at a new year, and especially as I get older, is, wow, it's 2016 already? Things are moving fast. You think so? Things moving pretty quick? I heard a story about two young boys who were getting acquainted at an interstate rest stop somewhere in Pennsylvania. As they stood by the pop machine, the first one said to the other, "Well, we're going to New Jersey, and my dad is driving really fast. Where are you going?" Second boy says, "Well, I don't know, but we're going really fast, too." Maybe that's how it feels. Not always sure where we're going, but we're going really fast. We're moving fast. Time is flying. So where exactly are we going in this new year? A lot of people would like to know that. It's not easy to answer, though, is it? I suppose somewhere in this congregation may be a student or two, maybe some near the end of college. And, you know, college students may say, "Well, I can see graduation up ahead and maybe a degree, but then what? Do I get a job? Where will I work? I'm not sure." The answer, the future is uncertain. Or maybe it's uncertain for other reasons. Perhaps you've been through a big change in your life in the last year. We have. Retirement is a big change for us. Takes a lot of getting used to. Or maybe you have, in just recent months, got a diagnosis that's frightful. You get a diagnosis from a doctor and you say, "Oh, wow. Wow, where am I going with this?" Or you see a momentous decision coming at you in the new year and you really can't put it off anymore and you've got to make this decision and you wish you could wait, but here it is. Got to make up your mind. Where am I going? Which way will I choose? On the other hand, for some of us, there's no change. Life is at kind of a dead end, maybe, for some. There's not only not much change, life is feeling dull, it's boring, nothing happening. Here's a worker that just got laid off indefinitely. What's he going to do? Or there's a divorced mother of three children trying to make it on her own, trying to raise these kids and provide enough income and enough love, and she doesn't know. She's feeling like she can't do it. Or there's a stroke patient whose recovery has slowed down to a crawl, and now she can't find any progress. So to the question, "Where am I going?" comes a rather numbing answer: nowhere. I'm going nowhere. Sometimes people in church feel like that. Sometimes we feel like that spiritually. We can remember back to the time when we were excited and new in the faith and enthusiastic. But you know, that fire has burned a little low lately. Feels like I've lost my appetite for the Word, someone will say, and I'm just not that interested anymore. I don't read it like I used to. Kind of struggling to pray. Like, what's the use? Go to church out of habit rather than enthusiastically. Kind of go through the motions in the liturgy. Happen to you? It happens to pastors, I can tell you. Well, here we are at a new year on life's interstate highway, Interstate 2016. And where are we going? Just up ahead of us on the highway is January 6th, which is celebrated for centuries in the church as Epiphany. The gospel, which is generally appointed for Epiphany, is the story of some men who discovered where they were going on their interstate highway and whose journey has a lot to teach busy travelers like us. I'd like to read you that story. a part of that gospel read earlier about the wise men, the travelers. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Then comes all this interplay with Herod and him checking it out and making his plans, sending them on their way to find out where the baby was. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts. Ah, what a story. If we're asking ourselves, where do I go this year? What do I do? I think God would say, go with the wise men. That was a good trip. And where and how did those wise men go? Now think about it. First thing that strikes me about the wise men is that they let God do the leading. You know, they didn't whip out their maps or consult with AAA. Let God do the leading. Lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them. God used an incredible star. I've read books that wonder about what the star was. Have you ever wondered what it was exactly? Some people think it was a rare conjunction of the planets Jupiter and Saturn that actually did come together and form a very bright object in the sky in 7 BC and then didn't appear for another 800 years like that. Or some people think maybe it was a comet, which kind of looked like it was heading a certain direction. We kind of follow that comet as it goes and we go. Other people, and I was one of them, especially when I was younger, thought, you know, I think this was just a specially made star for the occasion. I think God just said, I'm going to make one and I'm going to lead you guys. Just follow this one. Whatever it was, the wise men had the sense to follow it, to say, okay, Lord, we're going. I know, maybe you're saying, well, I don't get to see many of those. We can hardly see stars at all, let alone some incredibly bright one. Well, it doesn't matter. God's pretty flexible, you know. He will find a way to lead those who are open to being led. For you, what might it be? Instead of a star, maybe for you it will be the prayerful concern in the voice of somebody here at church or elsewhere who really loves you and really listens and has something wise to tell you. Or maybe it will be that strong tug of your conscience. You know, the tug that pulls you, it says, don't do that. No, no, do this. I got a conscience that says that. Or best of all would be the certain word written right in the Bible or preached into our ears, and we say, ah, that word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I'm going to do that. But if you're going to follow where God leads, you better have a care for those who would let God lead must be willing to leave certain things behind. We're not certain exactly where the wise men were from, whether it was Babylon or Persia or someplace else in the ancient Near East. But I know that they left some things behind, didn't they? They had to leave their land behind, the place where they'd always been, where they enjoyed themselves. Had to leave their families behind or their routine behind. And a lot of, I mean, they had to leave behind everything except what they could pack on camels. They did it to hazard a journey that was hundreds of miles long and was dangerous and expensive and lasted a long time. Letting God lead means leaving something behind. So, what do you think you're going to have to leave behind in 2016? Our sins, for sure. Always the toughest thing. But maybe some other things. Maybe God would have you leave behind the familiar rhythm of your schedule. You know, I want you to step out of the box, God says. or habits we've ingrained over the years. You know, habits can be good, they can also be bad. And our sense of comfort and security, oh, I like this, I don't want to let go of this. God says, you might have to. Might have to let go of that. Isn't that often the reason why we wind up going nowhere? Is that we're not ready to let go. We're not willing to let go of some things. We say, no, I'm going to stay right here. You go away. Picture this. It might be hard to picture this. Picture a drunken man trying to row a rowboat across a lake. And there he is. He spent a long time pulling away on those oars, and considerable cursing has ensued. He's gone nowhere at all until finally a passerby shouts, hey, shouldn't you untie from the dock? He forgot to leave the dock behind. So what are you going to leave behind as you start down the Interstate Highway 2016? There's something from which we need to be untied. Well, that's one way. Let God do the leading. Should be like the wise men. There's another way, and that is, why don't we go with the same purpose that motivated them? They did say to Herod what their purpose was. Where is he? We've come to worship him. That's why we're here. They hadn't come to take slides of the Holy Land to share with family and friends. They hadn't come to make a fortune trading rugs and spices with the local dealers. They hadn't come on a food and wine tasting tour in Canaan to sample all the different things, tastes. No, they were here to meet someone, to make a rendezvous with a king, their king, our king. And when at last they found him, oh, they knew what to do. It says they rejoiced. They rejoiced for they were wise enough to recognize a gracious gift when they saw it. And then they worshiped him. And they weren't too proud or too sophisticated to bow down before this little one, because they knew who he was. And then they gave him gifts, costly gifts, beautiful gifts, fit for a king. For he is indeed a king, isn't he? So tell me, what will be the purpose of your journey into 2016? What's up ahead? Why are you making the trip through this year? Will you be trying to impress your friends? Will you try to make a lot of money? Now that's an American way to get into the new year. Or how about find the nearest party? Or will you be seeking him through this year, to know him, to kneel before him, to worship him, and to say, Lord, what do you want for my life? So where are you as this year 2016 gets underway? Have you come to the place where Jesus is to be found? And are you doing what the wise men did? Just look at their eagerness to worship him and compare it to the refrain we so often hear. Do I have to go to church? How long is that going to take anyway? That's a long way. I don't have a lot of gas in the car. Look at the gifts that they brought and then ask, have I ever given anything remotely like this? Anything that really cost me anything? Really? Whatever I have that's left over after I've paid the bills and left over after I've eaten my fill and left over from who knows what, is that what he gets? Listen to an astonishing thing. This little child that they had come to seek grew up. He became a man. And now he is on a journey and he comes seeking those who take no time for him and those who bring no gift to him. He says, that's all right, I'm coming to look for you. Because I love you, and I made you, and I'm not going to let you wander out there. I'm coming after you. Here I come. He's come on a long journey. From heaven above to earth I come, to bear good news to every home. He's come on a long journey all the way to our town, to seek and find us in our lostness and our deadness. You he made alive, says St. Paul, you who were dead. That's what he does. In this new year, he's on the way to find you wherever you are, find you with his grace. So be prepared. Be prepared for him to meet you. Be prepared to worship him when he comes near. And then, well, the third thing about these wise men, they went back home. I know that doesn't sound very important. Obviously, you go back home. After church, we go back home. Yeah, right? Have you thought about this, though, in terms of the wise men? Of course, they didn't stay in Bethlehem. They departed to their own country by another route to waylay Herod for a little while, get out of that guy's way. But they did go home. And then what? Just think about what must have happened for those wise men after they got back. I'll get back to them, but I want to have us think about being at the church. It's kind of like we've come to church, made a journey here. Maybe it was a little harder today with snow and stuff. But I'd like to remind you that the church is not an asylum for people to sit in and say, oh, it feels good in here. I sure don't want to go back out there. It's not for timid souls who want to escape reality. The church is rather a hospital. We come here for some healing, and after we get healed and strengthened, we go back home to do what we were doing, to do better what we were doing. Back to those wise men. What did they do when they got home, do you suppose? Well, I can tell you the Bible doesn't say. You can look all through the book of Hesitations and you won't find it. But I'm guessing that it was something like what one poet wrote who said, the wise men were no longer at home among an alien people clutching their gods. They went home, but they weren't quite at home there. Something had changed for them. Don't you suppose they said something about what they'd seen? You go away on a trip for a week or two, you come back and never say a word? No. Say, oh, you gotta hear what I did, where we went, oh, what we saw. That's part of the fun of it. The wise men must have come back talking about that trip, and don't you suppose there was more? Don't you suppose they led different lives? And maybe there were different values that had taken root in their hearts, and maybe they had a new courage to do some things they never thought they would do because of that little baby king that they met. But of course, the real question in the sermon is not what did the wise men do, it's what will you do? When you get back home and get back into your week tomorrow and so on, shall we not say something? Shall we not say something and do something for those people who are walking around in the fog? Years ago, there were two young men in their early 20s, I guess roughly your ages or so, two young men who were good friends. It so happened that these young men, neither one of them were believers, but during a limited portion of time, they had both come to faith at the same time. And they looked at each other and said, we got to do something different here. They were so overwhelmed with grace and the goodness of God, they said, we're going to do something different. And they started right away. They decided they were going to open a store together and use the profits to spread the gospel. That's what they did. I'd say they were two very wise young men. The year 2016 is before us. Interstate 2016 stretching away. Here we are at the rest stop, but we got to get behind the wheel and drive out. Some of what's coming in this year is known to us, although I have a feeling that quite a bit remains uncertain. But we don't need to wander around into this new year as if we're lost. For it's our privilege to travel with the wise men into this year. And that means to let God do the leading. And that means to seek Christ and worship him, come what may. And that means to serve him with a difference wherever he sends us. And when that happens to you, well, Happy New Year will cease being an empty wish and will be a vital greeting and a whole new lifestyle. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, in this new year, amen.